Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masachet Shkalim, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, in the pagination used in the Bavli, although it is a Yerushalmi, and Mishnah Bet of the first parak. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rishonah Hayu Okrinu Mashlechin Lifneihem. This is totally about the issue of Kilayim that we mentioned as being announced on the 1st and then dealt with on the 15th of Adar. Originally, the Beit Din used to come and just rip up the kilayim and throw them right in front of the people. Mishirabu of Rea Vera, more sinners increased. Hayimash lechin lidrachim, they'd throw it out onto the road. And it kinush yumav kirinet kol asadeh, which sounds like one takana, but it's really the next stage. So there are really three stages. They made a ruling that they would then make the entire field ownerless and available to anybody. Okay, Tani, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Here's the background. Originally, the Beit Din would come, rip up the kilayim, throw it in front of them. The Balabatim were happy for two reasons. First of all, their fields would get weeded. Then they could get also benefit from whether gezel really is the reed. Or they just nehanin, they would get benefit from the kilayim that were still there. Mishirabu over every road happened. I'm yuslechin al drachim. The Beit Din decided to throw it out onto the road. Alpichen, I yuslechim shayu menachshchin sadotehan. They still were happy because they got their fields weeded. They'd do it, they'd come out and they'd say, this field is now ownerless. And you'd lose everything. Now, parenthetically, minayat shefker Beit Din hefker, how do we know that when Beit Din is mafker something, that it indeed becomes ownerless? In other words, Beit Din has the right to reassign ownership and forfeit your ownership. Ktiv, so the pasuk in Ezra, Chol Asher Lavo, Shlosh Demim, Ba'atzat Asher Mazkeim, Yachoram, Kol Ruchusho, Vadam Yikahal Gola. Anybody who does not come and join us in the 3 days for the big gathering that we're going to have, all of his property will become forfeit. So you see that we have the right to do that. Now, there's another component here, which is Minayin Shiptura Min HaMasrot. So in other words, Beit Din comes up, and they declare that your field is now hefker, which means, by the way, that there is no liability or no obligation of ma'asrot, because it's hefker. But midoraita, really, it's not hefker. Beit Din made it hefker. So how do we know that Beit Din has such power that they can disown your field from you and make it exempt from ma'asrot? From Yonatan Breder, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Acha, Shamal Aminhadeh, he inferred it from the following. Ein ma'abrin et hashana lo b'shvit v'lo matzei shvit. We do not add an extra month to the year, not during the Shemitah year, and not during the year after Shemitah. Okay, well, we'll see why that is in a moment, but the part we care about is as follows. But if they went ahead and added the month, then it counts. Now, think about this. If you're adding a month during Shemitah, during Shemitah there's no liability for Masrot, which means Beit Din has the right to recalculate the year and add an extra month, even though they shouldn't do so during Shemitah. If they did so, you're exempt from Masrot. So Beit Din has that ability. Now, parenthetically, Ad Kedon Shvit, we understand why we would not want to add an extra month to Shemitah, because you're depriving people of their livelihood for an extra month and of their ability to work the land. But Motzei Shvit, why not the year after Shemitah? Miavun Shlo Rabot B'Yisur Chadash, because what that means is that now the Omer will be brought a month later, and until then you can't eat from the new grains. We don't want to add on to that, especially the year after Shemitah. Now Rizur, because there won't be stuff, that much stuff around to eat anyways. Zur b'shem Rabbi Avahu hada atamar ad shelo hitir Rabbi lavi yerek michutz laretz laretz. This prohibition, parenthetically, of adding on an extra month to the Shemitah year is only before Rebbe said that you could bring fruit from chutz laretz to Eretz Yisrael to eat it during Shemitah. Shitir Rebbe lavi yarek michutz laretz laretz shviit hishal shar shnei shavua. Shemitah is now equal with all the other years of the 7-year cycle, and you could add a month during Shemitah. Tani, en marvin tashana b'shvit, el b'shar shnei shavua, ibru ha-rezu muberet, am rabbi mana hada atamar m'shuyanak shayu shanim ketiknam. So there's another take on the same thing, that this prohibition and this distinction of Shemitah as the year in which you cannot add an extra month is only when things were the way they were supposed to be. Achshav shenash shanim ketiknam. Now that things aren't the way they're supposed to be, Am Yisrael is not living in their land, Shemitah maybe perhaps is the Rabbanan, he shvit, he shar shnei shavua, everything is the same. Tanish Rabbi Gamliel, Ibru Habmotse Shvit Miad, that Rabbi Gamliel's household used to add an extra month in the year after Shemitah. Amar Yavun, in Minhada, he contests this whole thing. Everything here started with our comment on Hefker Beitin Hefker and the Ptur Mimasrot. And he says, if this is your source, Leitcham Minaklum, you haven't inferred anything. Why? Because there's a different reason why we say that if the Beitin adds the extra month to Shemitah, that counts. Shamor Chodesh Aviv, Beitin is impelled by the command in the Torah to maintain Chodesh Aviv, the month of blooming or the month of spring. You have to make sure it comes at that time. And therefore, if they added the month, of course, it's proper. It's a proper thing. It's not a Beitin calculation. Beitin is considering what the Torah wants. Hey, Dom Rahada. So now, what is a good source? And the answer is the Mishnah and Peah. Gadish lo lukat tachtav. Let's say you have a pile of grain that you piled up in the field, and you did not collect underneath it. Everything that's touching the land, it's the earth itself, belongs to the Anim. Remember, when something is declared to be Leket, or Shikh, or Pe, or any of the Matnot Anim, it's exempt from Masrot. So he said the Beit Shammai, that's according to Beit Shammai. So you mean, according to Beit Shammai, it's exempt from Masrot? Divra komishum knas. No, it's actually a knas. Meaning, since Beit Din declared it to be owned by the Aniim, it's a knas against the owner, because they're trying to hide their leket. So it's a knas, implying that if it were something that was hefker for everybody, then it really would be full hefker, and it would be exempt from masrot. Actually, according to Beit Hillel, what happens, the Aniim have to take their own masrot and eat. But that means that had Beit Din really made it ownerless for everyone and available to everyone, Hefker to the Eshirim, then indeed it would be a case of Hefker, Beit Din, Hefker, and Paturim Masrot, thus proving that when Beit Din is Mafkir, such as in the field with Arkilayim, that it does become Paturim Masrot. Okay, we'll pick it up and do the final bit in this first parak in the next podcast. In the meantime, you should have a wonderful day.